Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There are basic human things we all agree on. Most of us want to do good. Most of us don't want to cause unnecessary suffering.
That was actress and activist Ivana Lynch, who joins me later in today's episode, along with Dr. Melanie Joy, to discuss their new podcast, Just Beings. But first, myself and Molly from the Vegan Food and Living team will be reviewing the new Cathedral City plant-based cheese, a vegan seafood range, milkshakes, and more. Don't forget to head over to veganfoodandliving.com/podcast to sign up to our newsletter and subscribe to Vegan Food and Living magazine for just 99p.
Do you know what? I'm actually so glad that we're not doing this in person, because I've just had tuna pasta salad, vegan tuna pasta salad, which I will reveal in a bit. And I've got the strongest onion breath in the world.
I cannot smell that over Zoom, so that's definitely a good thing.
You're welcome, because it's like we put a lot of red onion in there. We put a whole red onion, like raw. We should have just done half, but now my mouth is.
Oh no, I can't eat too much raw onion, like hardly any.
It's a bit intense, isn't it? I don't know why we put the whole thing in. I didn't do the onion, so I'll just blame it on my boyfriend. But yeah. Getting any kisses.
I thought he's a chef. He needs to sort that out. Too much onion.
I know. Too much onion. It's fine. I'll shout at him.
Anyway, what have you been up to? We were in the office yesterday, weren't we, in Bath, which was nice.
We got to see each other, which was so nice.
Yeah. And then on Friday, we are celebrating our company's 20th anniversary. But birthday? So that's going to be fun. Yeah. And we've got the most amazing vegan meal. I just printed out the menu, actually.
Yeah, I know. I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't actually... I've got an engagement party the day after, and I'm doing the vegan catering for it. I'd say vegan catering. I'm just cooking for 10 people. But still, it's a lot at a party.
That is a lot.
So I wasn't going to go, because the last party that we had, I got very, very drunk, and the next day I was being sick all day, so I was a little bit scared of history repeating itself. But once I seen the menu, I was like, well, I've got to go.
Yeah, hello.
I'm not going.
I know. The starters: pumpkin chili and coconut soup, beetroot carpaccio with cashew pesto. That's what I'm having. Are you having that?
No, I'm not.
You're having the spring rolls with mango salsa.
Is it not tempura?
Tempura.
Yes, I'm getting the tempura. God, maybe I should have had the spring rolls.
Yeah, mango salsa sounds good. And then the mains: smoked spiced vegetable risotto cake. That sounds fun.
Risotto cake.
Yeah. Ooh. Cauliflower steak with hummus, red pepper, almond and olive salsa. Red lentil lagoon with courgette and mushroom. How do you pronounce it? Mapo tofu.
I love mapo tofu.
Chosen this, but what
that
is it?
It's what made me want to do it. Oh, mapo tofu. It's one of those dishes that I've literally cooked so many times that I can't cook it anymore, but I will let someone else cook it for me because it's just so good. It's you have chunks of tofu. It's normally like braised within the sauce. And traditionally it's served with pork mince and Szechuan peppercorns. Have you ever had Szechuan peppercorns before? They'll just numb your mouth. It's so good. I believe it's like East Asian, potentially Japanese. I'm not too sure. But oh, it's so good. So like umami and just, oh God, I love it so much. Is it served from noodles, this one, or rice?
Sticky rice.
Sticky rice. Love that. I love that.
Just telling everyone all about our dinner that we're going to have.
I know.
That sound really good too. So
keep
an eye on our socials over the this coming weekend to see how we get on enjoying our three-course meal.
Oh my god! I've not told you. So on Saturday, I went for afternoon tea for a belated birthday celebration for my mum. It's the only sort of Saturday that we both had off because we were either working or away or whatever. So we went to the Vale Resort, which is just outside Cardiff. It's in Pontyclun in Wales.
I think I've heard of that. Yeah.
The Vale Resort. Yeah, it's quite big. I think like a lot of like Welsh rugby players and stuff go there to train and whatever. It's huge and it's lovely. And they did a vegan afternoon tea. So we were like, right, okay, we'll go there. The vegan options were just amazing. They were so good, maybe even better than the dairy ones, you know, dairy and meat ones.
Good. What did you have?
So oh my god, I was spoiled. I had so much more than they did as well. So I had a selection of sandwiches. It was cucumber sandwiches, tomato and smashed avocado, which was so nice. Falafel, which was tasty. I think it had like a little chutney or something with it. And roasted pepper and olive tapenade, which is so nice. I love olive tapenade.
Olive tapenade. Yum. Oh,
so good. And then the cakes. Oh my god, I had two scones, which were just so like buttery and I love them so much, with vegan butter and jam. And then I had flapjacks, I had millionaire shortbreads, red velvet cake, carrot cake.
Wow.
And it was 20 quid per person.
Bargain. I need to go to this place.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. I'm not very much of an afternoon tea person. Well, I love
it's a lot
sandwiches.
Of sugar.
Yeah. The cakes, I'd be like, oh yeah, they're quite nice. But it's a lovely idea as like a sort of birthday treat or something, isn't it?
Yeah, like, or just like a catch up or something. And as I said, it wasn't that expensive. And
yeah.
You could drink with it too.
Like bargain.
I love it. And I did have a pot of tea as well. Had a pot of Earl Grey to
lovely.
But I was drinking pints as well.
Pints with your afternoon tea. Molly, you're such a wrong'un.
I know. It's so common. We even got crisps from the bar because we just wanted a bit more. Like, there was so much sweetness. We were just like, I just kind of need something to sort of break through the sugar.
Yeah.
So we had a bag of crisps.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I'm trying to think what I did last weekend. I went paddleboarding again. I was trying to eke out the last of the sunshine. And I did have like a vegan taco sort of brunch, but it wasn't amazing. It was really expensive as well. Like I picked up the taco and all the scrambled tofu sort of just fell out the bottom. It's like £10 for two little tortillas. It was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, they're like especially sort of the sort of mini tortillas now, they're a bit of a rip-off, aren't they?
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, with vegan food, a bit of tofu does not cost a lot.
Yeah, it costs nothing.
Death of it being like priced in comparison to the meat and dairy. But never mind.
But never mind,
Quick bit of news for our listeners. We are going to be at VegFest on Sunday, the 13th of November. We're going to be on the panel with Jake Yap, who hosts the Vegan Life podcast, and one of the guys from the Bloody Vegans podcast, talking about how to host a successful vegan podcast.
I know. I feel like I've got a little bit of imposter syndrome, I'm not going to lie. not because our podcast isn't successful, but because... I don't know. I just can't believe that we're going. It's bizarre, but I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So if you're going to VegFest, or even if you're not going to VegFest, grab a ticket and come and see us. It'd be really nice to meet some of our listeners.
We're on the Sunday, aren't we, I believe?
Yeah, Sunday. I think it's at 1:30, our talk.
Yes.
So there'll be information on the website shortly. And in other news, I have tried the Cathedral City plant-based cheese. Very exciting.
This is big news.
Yes. So, yeah, before recording, I'm like, I need to get this cheese. Apparently, Cathedral City have no samples available to send out. And they literally did no sort of like build-up to it. They just launched it on us.
They just did a Beyoncé. Beyoncé did an album a couple of years ago. She just... no press for it. She just launched her album and it was a success. And I feel like it's paid off for Cathedral City, because every single person that I see on vegan group chats and stuff like that, just like, where can I get this cheese? Where can I get it? Yeah,
created a real buzz just by sort of secretly sneaking it into stores. The block is £3.60 and the slices and the grated versions are £2.30. Apparently the vegan cheese market in the UK is worth £40.2 million now.
That's ridiculous.
That is insane. I saw so many amazing reviews online, got very excited, and then started seeing quite a few negative ones saying, I've just rushed out after hearing so many good things about this cheese and I'm really disappointed. So I came to it with a real sort of open mind and didn't know what I was going to get. I believe it's also produced by Sheesh. So I was wondering whether it was going to sort of be similar to theirs. I opened the packet and I have to say the smell test wasn't great. It didn't smell that good. But then does cheese smell that good? I don't know.
Do you mean sort of like I find with vegan cheese, it smells very artificial and it smells like just smelly, smelly cheese. Mm,
a bit like smelly feet. Yeah. So I was thinking, this isn't going to be that great, is it? However, I think it's probably the best one available in the supermarket.
That's a big claim.
It's got a really good texture to it. It's not sort of waxy like some of them. It's got a slight crumble to it. I mean, you would probably know the difference. I think if you only ate dairy and you had this one, you'd know. But I think that's a good thing, because I could not eat dairy cheese now. Well, obviously for so many reasons, because it's vegan and everything else. But if I would kind of find it really sour, and this didn't have that sort of sourness.
Taste just completely changed, don't they?
Yeah, it didn't have that sourness. So it wasn't like, oh my God, this is dairy. But yeah, really, really good taste. Slight tang, not a horrible aftertaste, not too coconutty.
Cool.
Yeah, and it melted really nicely. So
what did you do with it?
Well, I just had some on some like rye sourdough with some caramelized onion chutney.
Oh.
And then I just grilled a little bit and had the same. And yeah, really, really nice. So I'm very excited about this.
Do you know what? I actually kind of want to try it now. I've been seeing lots of people sharing it, and I just want to get a piece.
Yeah.
I might not even like it. I will never be that person to eat like a block of cheese just like from the packet, like a little mouse. I'm not that person.
Yeah.
I wasn't even that person when I ate dairy cheese. It always needed to be melted for me.
Right.
Or like cooked through something. I couldn't eat it. I say raw, it's not raw, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm going to try, because currently I use applewood, which is nice, but sometimes a smoky flavour, it doesn't go with everything.
No, I think the applewood was sort of a game changer when it was launched.
Yeah.
And obviously since then, so many different ones have come out. And whilst applewood, like you say, is still great, I think.
Yeah.
I think this Cathedral City is, yeah, sort of a bit of a game changer. And it like, you know, cheese on toast, on pizzas, over pasta, or just cheese and biscuits. It's a good one. And not too expensive. I mean, the block is smaller than the dairy ones, but I don't think it's like ridiculously overpriced.
Yeah, I mean, it's just today, cost of living is just, everything is, you know,
this is it.
Heightened, isn't it? Yeah. I think, what is it, £3 something?
£3.60 for the block and £2.30 for the slices and the grated.
It's not too bad. I've seen more expensive ones.
Well, we have some more reviews for everybody today. We've been trying the new Omni Foods seafood range, which, I mean, seafood is kind of the next big thing, isn't it, in vegan products. And everyone's, you know, now trying to imitate crab and scallops and prawns, all sorts.
And surprisingly, I feel like it's probably the one that's been most successful, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like fish alternatives, I've not really had like a terrible one. Although tuna, I've had a couple of bad tuna ones, like vegan tuna products, but I've also had lovely ones, which I don't really... I can't recall much of a difference, you know?
Yeah, I think the tuna's slightly harder unless you've got like something that gives it a stronger flavour, like, I don't know, like horseradish or mustard or something, you know, that sort of takes away that sort of soya flavour.
Yeah.
But Omni Foods, so they've got tuna, haven't they? They've got crab cakes, they've got burgers, fish fingers, fish fillets, like a whole range. And they're at Vegan Kind and Ocado. The crab cakes I tried were, I think, £5, which is quite a lot. But
it's an expensive brand, I think, but a treat.
It is, and obviously you're going to pay a lot for fish anyway. So the crab cakes I really, really liked. I thought, I'm not sure, because I sort of tend to make my own crab cakes using hearts of palm and, you know, which have been nice. And I thought, sometimes they can be a bit soft. Sometimes they can be a bit too potato-y. So it's just basically like a fried potato cake.
Yeah, that's the issue I've had before. Whenever I try and do them, I've made them with like butter beans and banana blossom. That's the sort of, that's what I go for. And you need to leave them sit for a while, otherwise they just go very crumbly, and as you say, more like a potatoy cake rather than like a solid crab cake.
Yeah, but no, these were really, really nice, really nice and firm, and lovely flavour to them. So, what ones have you tried then so far?
So, I've had the tuna for my lunch, hence my onion breath. the tuna was really, really good. I think when you open the can, it does smell a little bit like cat food, but doesn't all tuna smell a little bit like cat food?
True, yeah.
But I really like that. I'm so basic. Whenever I see like a can of tuna or something, I just do tuna pasta salad. That is just my go-to. I'm so basic. Unless it was like a sort of vegan tuna steak or whatever, I'd do something different. But with canned tuna, there's not really tuna jack and potato. I can do that too. I'm versatile. but yeah, I really, really like that. It the can isn't massive and it's not very full. So it doesn't go that far. But it was a nice treat to have. And I've had the fish fingers as well, which were really lovely. They just reminded me of fish fingers when I was younger.
Yeah, I don't think you'd notice the difference, would you?
No, you genuinely wouldn't. Like, if you give those to a child, they'd be like, thanks.
My son was perfectly happy. No complaints there. So that was good. What about the burgers? Because these are supposed to be sort of very exciting. People saying they're sort of rivaling the fillet of fish from McDonald's and stuff.
So they did a launch with Ooey, didn't they, to debut these fish fillet burgers, and oh my god, I love them so much. Mm. They're so good. A bit too good, because it means that I will have them all the time. But I love fillet de fish burgers. I just love the sort of tartar sauce, nice fresh. I always have rocket with mine, just sort of bit of a peppery taste, and yum, just good bread. And oh yeah, god. And this now is so good. It's very, very realistic.
Really, I haven't tried the fish burgers yet, but we had we went to the Earthling Ed's Unity Diner in London.
Mm. Yeah, so, I've never been. I really want to go though.
Yeah, yeah. So that we had sort of a fish burger there with like a vegan prawn on top on a little sort of cocktail stick, and that was really, really nice. Oh, you made me want to make tartar sauce now. Capers.
I'm so bad at making tartar sauce. When I made a tartar sauce before, it just wasn't very good. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Is it the yogurt?
I think I might have used yogurt and maybe it was a bit too sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you use mayonnaise or yogurt?
I think it's... Do you know what? I don't even know. I just don't tend to... I think I've maybe made it once.
Yeah. I've made it once and then it just wasn't very good. So I was just like, well, yeah. But tartar sauce, I don't think I've seen the Sackler tartar sauce because that's the only one I know of.
I know.
That's
I haven't seen it either.
I've not seen it. I don't know whether it might be at Asda, because Asda has that big, in like the big supermarket ones, they have a big vegan sort of section, and I have seen it there. I've not really gotten Asda close.
No, me neither. Yeah, come on, Sackler. We want the tartar sauce.
We want more.
We want it in Tesco's and we want it in Sainsbury's and everywhere. And we also tried the shaken other milks, which are like what are they called? Milkshakes, aren't they? Chocolate. Yeah.
Why can you think of that word?
I don't know. Milkshake. chocolate or strawberry, they are, and made with coconut milk. They're £1.50 at Waitrose, Asda, and Sainsbury's, and I think maybe a few other places. God, these were good.
Strawberry milkshake. I am so happy to see vegan strawberry milkshake.
Yum, yum. You would never tell any difference between...
No, very, very sweet. You can only probably have like one... But I like to put a little bit of ice in it, which is probably a bit weird because it dilutes it and it gets a bit watery. But I love that.
Really lovely. And, you know, good price as well. Like not sort of particularly expensive. Yeah. I mean, you know, if I was sort of trying to get my kids off dairy, they'd be all over these.
Oh, they're so good. And strawberry milkshake. Bring back strawberry and fruity flavors. Because I say it every time. I'm literally a broken record. But I'm over chocolate. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. The chocolate was lovely. But also, I just love fruity flavours. Banana milkshake. Love that.
Yeah. Takes you back to your childhood. Mm. And then another new launch, which it's just come out, Crosta and Mollica vegan pizzas. So they do sourdough pizzas, don't they? And they do a sourdough base with like a tomato sauce on it, which I eat regularly from Waitrose. And I don't know, I just think I've seen it anywhere else, so I don't know where else they do, but
I've normally seen them in sort of like places like Sainsbury's, M&S, the more sort of high-end supermarkets. But yeah, they are very lovely. So we got sent, I got sent, Holly didn't actually get sent any.
Rude.
I got sent the new pizzas along with all of their other ranges of like
the little, they do sort of like flatbreads and things, don't they?
Yeah, they do flatbreads, they do just any bread that you can think of, dried or fresh, they do it. It's insane. But the pizzas, they were nice. They were a good alternative to sort of pizzas that are available now. I think a lot of the ones that are in the supermarkets are either a bit basic or they're just, I don't know, either a bit too sweet, I find, just feel a bit, what's the word?
Processed?
Yeah, processed. And I think with these ones, the base was really, really lovely. As you said, it's a sourdough base, which I love. So you could tell the difference straight away. And the cheese, it was kind of like a cheese sauce, I think. And it was kind of like scattered. It wasn't covered all over the pizza. It was just like blobs of it. And only go to sort of like artisan pizza houses or whatever. And it's just kind of a bit, it's just placed over, not like scattered. And it had kind of random toppings. It was broccoli, red onion, and peppers, I think.
Right.
Which it was so nice because it was just veg and I loved it. It was really nice.
Yeah.
They're a good sort of alternative. They are small, however.
Right. They're $4.75. So yeah, they're small as well. It's a bit pricey.
But you do get two in a pack.
Oh, okay. So they do, I think they do the pizza and then they do the pizzetta, which are two in the pack.
Oh, so I had the pizzetta.
Oh, okay. So they're the sort of smaller ones.
Yes.
Yeah, my local pizza place, which is run by Italians and it's sort of really authentic, they do vegan pizzas. And instead of like the tomato base and cheese and stuff, they do like, what do they call it? They either do like a butternut squash,
like puree
type thing, yeah, or a broccoli cream, that's what they call it.
I've seen a couple of people doing this lately with pasta, broccoli cream.
Yeah.
They like cook the broccoli down and it goes creamy. It's very strange.
Yeah, blend it up. That's so nice. Yeah. God, I'm getting really hungry now. Pizza.
I know, me too. I've got a lovely pizza place around the corner for me, and it's run by Italians. It's just so good. They're just the best pizzas.
Well, they know what they're doing, don't they?
Yeah. Yes, they do.
I hope so. Well, we've spent the whole of the first half of this episode talking about food. But coming up, I'll be speaking to Ivana Lynch of Harry Potter fame and Dr. Melanie Joy, who we've had on the show before, but they've teamed up to create a new podcast together. So stay tuned for that coming up next. Well, next I'm joined by Ivana Lynch and Dr. Melanie Joy. Ivana Lynch is an actress, writer, podcaster, and advocate. She began her professional acting career at the age of 14 when she played Luna Lovegrove in the Harry Potter film series, and she continues to act on stage and screen. She published her first book, The Opposite of Butterfly Hunting, The Tragedy and Glory of Growing Up, in 2021. A passionate animal advocate, Ivana is also the creator and host of the Chick Peeps podcast, which won the Vegan Food and Living Best Podcast Award. Dr. Melanie Joy is an internationally recognized thought leader and psychologist specializing in relationships, communication, and social transformation. She's the award-winning author of 7 books, including the best-selling Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Wear Cows, Beyond Beliefs, A Guide to Improving Relationships and Communication for Vegans, Vegetarians, and Meat Eaters, and the forthcoming How to End Injustice Everywhere. Melanie is best known for her groundbreaking theories and work on the psychology of violence and nonviolence and on building healthy relationships. She's the founding president of the charitable organization Beyond Carnism. Thank you so much for joining us, Melanie and Ivana. So you've come together to create a new podcast called Just Beings, and it's all about creating a better world for ourselves as well as the animals and the planet. But how did you guys meet? Because I was so surprised to see that you two coming together. Obviously, you're both big names in the vegan movement, but you know, we wouldn't necessarily expect you to do something together. So how did it all start?
I suppose it's that thing of like attracts like, isn't it? And I'd read Melanie's work. I felt really seen by it. I remember just feeling like, oh, nobody's kind of explaining this way of looking at animals, our relationship with animals, veganism, in such a compassionate way, and trying to understand, you know, what is it that makes some people care more? What is it that holds people back? I was very excited to talk to her. I had her on my podcast, The Chick Peeps, and I remember just feeling, I wrote about this, Melanie, as you know, I was really intimidated. So I was like, oh, she's like, this person is, I gotta be switched on here, I gotta be ready with all my notes.
I know, but that I also feeling.
yeah exactly.
So do I very well.
Yeah, but I also just felt like, so you were such a kind person. I felt really like I could chat to you, and like you were just somebody who you could have a normal human conversation with. And yeah. And then I think, how was it? I sent you my book after, you know, last year, some point last year. And
we reached out to you, actually.
Okay.
And then
yes.
I think you knew who about my work, but then we reached out to you with the video, What to Say to Vegans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then interviewed me. Remember on Chick Peeps?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. So that's how it started. And then I think we just were talking about ways to collaborate. And I think we both were having discussions about how we, you know, our work is always going to incorporate animals, but how do we get a greater reach beyond people who don't use the vegan label? Because, that's something we can talk about in more depth, of course, but like, you know, the binary term is useful for labels and packages, but it kind of sometimes is a little bit exclusive when it comes to people. And I really noticed that with my podcast, that it wasn't bringing in all of these, you know, sensitive, interesting, open-minded people who were just, you know, intimidated by the label. But at the same time, I wanted to kind of welcome them into the conversation and talk to them and, you know, get their wisdom. So that's how it started for me. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah. No, I love it. And thank you. Yeah. And it was, so we do have similar memories of how we, which is good. Could you imagine if I came in with a completely different story? Oh yeah. You know, I bumped into a
we met 3 years ago
and we started talking, hey, you're vegan too. But yeah, I remember we reached out. So at Beyond Carnism, we created a video, What to Say to Vegans. And this is, you know, because it's just so hard for vegans to open up communication around the issue. I mean, you guys know this. As soon as you say I'm vegan, or you don't even say I'm vegan, you say like, oh, I don't eat meat or something, like this wall goes up and all of a sudden you're like having to like justify and explain your lifestyle choices to somebody who like you just met 5 minutes ago for no reason. You know what I'm talking about. So we had just made this video about what to say to vegans, to help vegans basically have a tool to open up the dialogue. We were talking about when we launched this video, where's the best place to do it? It'd be great if Melanie was like in conversation with somebody about the video who has a similar approach to these issues. And then we reached out to you, Ivana, the Chick Peeps podcast. Your podcast is so good and your approach was so aligned with us. And then after that conversation, I've told you this before, Ivana, it was like one of my favorite podcast interviews because you're just like so like easy to talk to and so present and so like, yeah, you just like show up to the conversation in a way that's very, very present and have that ability to kind of like stay talking about kind of ideas and big ideas, but at the same time to keep it like very real and fun and, you know, grounded in emotion. And it was just, it was so nice. And it was later than I read your book, your memoir, The Opposite of Butterfly Hunting, that you sent me, which was really nice. And I was like, oh my God, this is really, really, really well done. And like so much to talk about. And then I wanted to have you on an Instagram live and interview about the book. And we started talking about that. And then we were like, hey, you know, maybe we should have a podcast together because I had wanted to do a podcast. And Ivana's like energy and synergy was so like sympathetic, like so similar to my own. That it felt like it better actually. it's just like you come across really well. And I felt like it would work really well. And we were having this conversation, which is, you know, exactly what Ivana was saying. We're having these great conversations about veganism, but we want to talk about more than veganism. Like being vegan is an expression of deeper values, you know, of a life, of an orientation to life and to the world. And we want to talk about more than veganism, but keep it connected, always keep the animals in the conversation. And we wanted to talk about issues, talk in a way that would invite people into the conversation who weren't already vegan, as you said, Ivana, like identified with the term vegan. So yeah, that's sort of what led to this collaboration.
I think makes us work together well, what sort of united us, I think we both have quite an optimistic view on human nature where, you know, some activists come at people kind of feeling like, well, they see that most people don't change. I think Melanie is the same. I really believe that most people are compassionate when you get down to it, when you really understand them, maybe you understand what they've been through, understand their prejudices, their backgrounds, that kind of thing. So I'm always coming at activism and advocating for veganism from that angle, as in like, I know if we have a chat, if I get to know you better, we can agree on these things. Not in a way that I'm trying to like manipulate people, but in a way that I just think there are basic human things we all agree on. Most of us want to do good. Most of us don't want to cause unnecessary suffering. And I think when you look at people and talk to people from that perspective of believing good things about them, it tends to be a more productive conversation. And I think that's where we really connected in our way of outreach, I suppose you'd call it.
Yeah, definitely. Just being really committed to non-shaming and to like honoring people's dignity and to recognizing that, you know, there are a lot of people in the world who are not willing or ready or able to move toward veganism for whatever reason. You know, maybe they don't have, you know, the ability to make their food choices freely. Maybe their life circumstances were such that they really struggle to connect with their own compassion, you know, but there are a lot of people who are ready to move in that direction and just to help contribute to a better world for all beings. And those are the people we want to reach, and we want to reach them in a way that waters the seeds in them of compassion and empathy, you know, and by communicating in a way that's not shaming and sort of speaking to their dignity, you know, and talking about solutions as opposed to, you know, some other kinds of approaches. That's just, I mean, science shows that's actually more effective, and it's just a more, you know, a relational approach.
Yeah, I think sort of sometimes ranting about things doesn't always have the desired effect, does it? And I love the fact that because I think us vegans or activists or whatever we want to label ourselves, we always want to reach this wide audience. But then sometimes we just get in this echo chamber where we're vegan and we're talking to vegans about veganism and, you know, we're not sort of getting beyond that. So I think it's brilliant that you've come up with this, you know, concept where you're looking at all different, like you say, aspects of compassion. What are some of the themes then discussed in the podcast? I know, and some of the guests. So you had Dr. Michael Gervais, and you were talking about sort of being true to our values and how, you know, when we do that, people kind of buy into us more than if we kind of give out these mixed messages, and also building sort of mental skills and mental strength.
Yeah, definitely. Mike is a really interesting guest. He has a great podcast actually called Finding Mastery. And he's a sports psychologist actually, who is also very much a vegan ally, very much moving in that direction. So that's really great as well. And, you know, his work has been, he's looked at, you know, these, he works with and has looked at as well, like studied top athletes, like ultra performers, super, 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 super ultra performers, like the top 0.1% or whatever, you know. And the question was, you know, what is it that helps these people thrive? And, you know, it, I mean, obviously there are so many factors. You have to have a certain amount of privilege, right? Even to get to get the support that you need to achieve that way. Yeah. Mike was looking at what are the mental skills that they employ in order to do the work that they need to do and to succeed in the way they need to. So he really like looked specifically at the mental skills that they developed. And that's what he spoke to. And one of the things that he was talking about was how important it is to be values aligned with yourself. Like basically to be, he didn't use the term self-mission aligned, but that's what I would call it. And he says, you know, a lot of times people are acting against their values and they don't even know it. And it's sort of like, so we're just not in sync with ourselves. We keep getting in our own way. And he talks about the importance of like really sitting down and, you know, writing out what are my core values? Like, what is it that's most important to me? Like we might say compassion. Okay, well, what does that look like? Okay, am I leading a life in a way that actually does reflect these values? And if not, what do I need to do to shift and pivot? And so this was a piece of a whole that he talked about, which, you know, also connected with mindfulness. I mean, he talks about the incredible importance of building mindfulness into your life so that you even have the ability to slow down and look inside and observe what's happening inside of you and what matters to you. Like most of us are just moving so fast. We're just filling our lives with so much. We're consuming so much, taking so much from the outside world into our lives and just like, you know, our own minds and our own thoughts ruminating that we don't have the quiet and the space and stillness and stillness inside of ourselves to really connect with who we are, really ask these questions and listen deeply. Like, who do I want to be in this world? How do I want to show up in this world? What are the most important values to me? And what does that look like? And is the way that I'm moving through my life, my day-to-day life, or the big picture of my life, my job choice, career choice, or whatever, is this reflective of my values? So it was a very interesting conversation that I had with him and quite inspiring.
Yes, there's so much noise around us. Like you say, it's easy to just sort of like you just get onto the hamster wheel and you're just going round and round, and suddenly it's like, you know, I think taking that time out is, yeah, a great idea. Ivana, who've you enjoyed interviewing?
Oh gosh, all of them really. I was really blown away by Joanne Molinaro, who a lot of your listeners might know as the Korean vegan, because, you know, she's so, so passionate about what she does, and she's such a gifted storyteller. And I just love that she's weaving, like, you know, some very serious themes, like our cultural relationship with food and, you know, our families. Background and her, you know, her family are were immigrants, and their story. I just love that that's all woven into food, because that to me is what food is. It represents so much more than just nutrition and what we eat. And I think I've always found that a little bit alienating about the vegan movement, when some people think just, you know, cut these things out and move on with your life. For me, it was food had much more significance in my life than that. It was a love language. It was a method of control. It was all these things. It was, and you know, I've talked a lot about this before in lots of interviews, that finding a way to make food my friend was like quite a victory, I suppose. And I hadn't seen many people talk so much about this rich relationship with food in the way that Joanne does. And I mean, it's in her book as well. She's this beautiful book, and it's just so much more than recipes. It's all about people and her family and love and all that. And so I really love talking to her. And she's interesting because she, even, you know, she's called the Korean vegan, but she almost never uses the word vegan, veganism. And she doesn't, or doesn't, well, that's actually probably not true. I think she almost never mentions animals, the ethical right. side of it. And yeah, it's very clearly, you know, veganism is an ethical stance. So we had a really interesting conversation about that, about was that tactical? You know, are the animals at the root of what she's doing? All these things. It was, that's a conversation I'll revisit. And one of the things that I took away from it that I never stop thinking about is she said the book that changed her life was Twilight. And I was like, seriously? Twilight? Like, you know, she's such, she's just the last person I expected to say that. But yeah. She said we had a really beautiful moment, like a conversation where she was talking about how it was a woman who was, you know, pursuing her pleasure and going after what she wanted. And you see that, you know, how Joanne has done that. She's built a life that's all on her terms, her storytelling, her talents. And I'm all for it. Examples of women going, yeah, I want more, and I want it my way, on my terms.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I loved, like, what you were saying. I mean, I thought it was so interesting when she was talking about how, you know, she doesn't talk about the sort of reasons to stop eating animals that are related to animal rights, for example, but her message is so ethically loaded. Like, she's always talking about ethics. She's talking about compassion, and, you know, and she is actually talking about ethical veganism. If you think about practicing, you know, treating your body with compassion and putting foods into your body that reflect your values, or putting foods into your body that you just want to nourish your body with because you care about yourself, you know, that is an ethical choice too. And I love the way that she sort of weaves ethics through everything she does, and yet comes at this conversation so gently where people don't even think there's an ethical conversation happening in a way. Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of cleverness, isn't it? Of, you know, coming at it without people realizing that you're, because it does make me sad that whenever, certainly in terms of our podcast, the episodes where we are focusing on animals, ethics, things like that, they do attract less downloads than health and nutrition. And it always breaks my heart a little bit because I think, don't people care? Like, yeah, it's a tricky one. I think sometimes people are maybe scared that they're going to hear something that they don't want to hear. I know, Melanie, we talked in the last podcast about, trauma and things like that. And I think sometimes people are worried about what they're going to hear because it's going to upset them.
It might be also that, a lot of your listeners are already vegan and kind of going, I don't need to hear that. Like it's what you and Melanie talked about. I assume that you don't often want to go to that place. Like I've had that recently with, there's so many documentaries and I'm a bit like, I'm not the target audience. I already know, like it's grim. And
yeah,
I think people sometimes need that wake up call, but I think you have to protect your boundaries as well when you're already in it, people like us who are always sort of in touch with these ideas and with this awareness. It's like you got to sort of, I had that the other day, a friend of mine who's not vegan incidentally, but she sent me a video of pigs sort of, I don't know, there was something that they were eating plastic or in their feed and everything. And it was just one of those things where it was like, I don't need to know this, I wouldn't be disheartened by that, but I know what you mean. Like you want people to care about that. But.
Yeah. And it's that's the reason that some people are so defensive against, material that is, about animal rights or animal welfare or whatever. Like they're just so worried that they're going to be, hit with something that they can never unsee again. Mm. And, and it is true. You say it, well, Ivana, we have to protect our boundaries because, there's a lot of trauma in the movement, in the vegan movement. A lot of people have been traumatized, for very good reasons. And we have to be really careful about how much, about sending people material that they haven't asked for and, how much we let into ourselves.
Yeah. What advice would you give to listeners then who feel a bit sort of overwhelmed with, wanting to do their bit and make the world a better place and kind of spread the word, but they just don't, it's just like you said, there's so much information. And
I read a really helpful book lately. It's called The Psychic Code. But I wouldn't be put off by whether or not you believe, psychics are real, because it's more about people who are empaths and how they have to manage their energy carefully. Like, if you come in off busy day in public or from public transport, literally setting intentions like washing your hands and intending I'm getting rid of the day, getting rid of that energy. I think, I think a lot of, and I'm sure Melanie can talk more to this, but I think a lot of vegans are empaths, are extra sensitive and do absorb people's energy. So, that's something I've been learning lately, of kind of not taking on things that are other people's, staying centered in my own energy. I think it's just an important practice to kind of, yes, protect your energy. And also just to remember that, like, you are much more effective when you are sort of focused on one task at one time. Like, as soon as you're, and I'll get this, I'll go on social media with the aim of going, right, I got to do this post. And then I see five other charities who I really like saying, would you mind sharing this thing? And it's like, my focus is suddenly split six ways and I'm not really useful to anyone because I'm not putting 100% into the task I have. So I think if you really think of it in terms of practicality and how you can be most effective, most useful, yes, of course, your heart is pulled in many different ways and you want to, but honor the task that you've committed to, I think. And, don't get dragged into that whole reactive, reactive activism. I'd say, but as I say, that there's that one book, The Psychic Code, has really helped me figure out energetic practices to not be pulled in those other directions. Mm-hmm. That's my advice anyway.
I think I need to read that. It definitely sounds like
it's
me.
Great.
Yeah. And like just building on what you were saying, Ivana, that like a couple of tips that I would share. I mean, first of all, knowing yourself is so important. You're talking about being empathic. A lot of people who are attracted to veganism or who just like are attracted to helping, the helping professions and being of service are what are called highly sensitive people, HSP. There's very interesting literature on this. And there have been a lot of studies that have looked at how, I think they say about 20% of the population is a highly sensitive person. That means that you're hardwired differently than others, in that you are more sensitive to emotionally sensitive, and you're more sensitive to external stimuli, bright lights, loud sounds. You know, you need more beauty, you need more quiet, you need more stillness around you. Your nervous system gets flooded more easily than other people's do. You get overstimulated more easily than other people do. And you get dysregulated, like out of balance, more easily than other people do. That said, even if you're not an HSP, we all have a certain tolerance for different things. And honoring who you are and what you need in order to stay regulated, that means to stay in balance, is one of the most important things we can do. You know, give yourself permission, just check in with yourself during the day and ask yourself, do I feel in balance right now? And if not, what do I need to get back into balance? I know that, you know, before I had learned about this years ago, and I'm an HSP, and before I had learned about this sort of trait of being highly sensitive, I just kept feeling like if other people can tolerate this much stimulation, then I should be able to also. I should be able to stay up late at night and like not have to sleep so much. Like, why am I so bothered by the loud noises in this room? Like, why do I have to leave this demo early because it's just like overwhelming me? I really gave myself permission to honor who I am and what I need in order to be in balance. And that has really helped me to be much more sustainable in my advocacy and my activism. I think it's very, very important. And whether you're an HSP or not, like one thing that everybody I think needs to do in, you know, who are vegans or anybody who's working to make the world a better place is, as I mentioned earlier, just be careful not to overwitness. You know, don't, we always think I've got to like, I got to watch those videos. I've got to look at that graphic, you know, image, because this is what's coming in our feeds, you know, and this is what we feel often an obligation to take in. But like Ivana said, like, if you already know this, don't take any more trauma into your life, because you're just going to develop a post-traumatic response, which is going to make you more dysregulated, which is going to increase the chances that you're less effective at your activism and probably increase your chances of burning out and taking other people down with you. So, I mean, it's really win-win, because what's good for us is good for the movements that we're working for. And, you know, and there's also been a lot of research looking at what helps people build resilience, you know, so that they can withstand the stress, the trauma of like what's happening in the world or what's happening in their lives or whatever it may be. And one really key resilience builder is healthy relationships, healthy connections. Like, people who maintain healthy connections with others are less likely to develop PTSD after a disaster, for example, you know, or after they've had a trauma themselves, whether it's a shared trauma or not. And so committing to building healthy relationships and to giving yourself permission to do the things that, you know, are good for you and feel good in many ways is really key.
Yeah, I think those things will really resonate with our listeners. What are some of the things that you hope people will take away from the podcast then?
Oh, I hope it makes people think. You know, that's actually something we talked about with Lily Cole, that we wanted to facilitate more conversation than answers. And I think it's some, you know, something I've learned as a vegan. When I first started veganism, I was just like, right, give me all the answers, give me the book. I want to do it perfectly. I want to tick it all off and be done. And the deeper I got into it and into activism, the, you know, I realized there's infighting in the vegan community, there's gray areas, there's things that we all disagree on. You'll never sort of reach the right answers. It's more about finding the right answers within yourself, having that sense of authenticity. So I hope it gives people, you know, that it sort of empowers people. I never want the podcast or any, you know, any podcast I'm part of to kind of be prescriptive. I want it to cause people to look inwards, yeah, to empower them to ask these questions or do whatever they want to do. And also I hope it makes, you know, people who are interested, because we know it is a podcast about wellness and looking after yourself. And part of the reason Melanie and I started the conversation was we said there are so many wellness podcasts and social justice podcasts that leave animals out. You know, they casually talk about animals being exploited, and, you know, they'll talk about that they had they'll talk about spirituality and then they'll say they had a chicken salad. And it's like, you know, not to shame them, but there's a being there that needs to be considered with the same consideration you're giving everyone else you're talking about in this space. So I hope it will make yeah, people who are interested in that, people who are naturally compassionate, consider their relationship with animals and consider them as sentient beings, maybe open their mind to that and what they can do to sort of connect with animals on a deeper level.
Yeah, and really just like building on what you said, really just, you know, helping people also learn about issues that are going on in the world. You know, we talk to people who are, you know, thought leaders in different spaces who are doing like, you know, innovative work on helping create a better world. Maybe it's for animals, but maybe it's for humans. Maybe it's for the environment. Maybe it's for all of the above. And so really being able to like have this sort of more holistic approach where we talk about social issues and social transformation, as well as personal issues and personal wellness and personal transformation, and really look at how the way that we relate factors into all of this. You know, do we relate in a way that's healthy, contributing to better lives and relationships in our sort of immediate circles? And do we support sort of healthy systems, healthy sort of activities in the world, helping to create a better world for all beings in the process?
Yeah, well, I've listened to a few episodes now and I've really enjoyed it. So it's presumably on all the usual platforms, isn't it? So, and you've also got a website, Just Beings. Is it justbeings.com?
Justbeanspodcast.com.
Well, just to finish, what other projects have you both been involved with recently?
Sure. So yeah, at Beyond Carnism, we've actually just launched a new video about what we're calling Kitten Gate. It's about the impact of animal agriculture on the climate. It's really short, hopefully very sticky, innovative video about the importance of making animal agriculture a climate priority. People can find that through, well, we're hashtagging Kitten Gate and our channels Beyond Carnism at carnism.org and our social media channels. We have some new SEVA materials. Our Center for Effective Vegan Advocacy is producing some new, calling them vegan communication hacks, like basically bite-sized materials for vegans to help them communicate more effectively, is like building out our resources and some new trainings for vegans, one specifically focusing on infighting, a workshop on preventing and like managing infighting in the movement and in organizations, which I'm really excited about. We're going to be doing, I think, a lot of work around infighting to help address this problem in the movement. And I have a new book coming out in 2023 called How to End Injustice Everywhere. And it's looking at the kind of common denominator, the common mentality and dynamics, behaviors that drive all forms of injustice against animals, you know, humans, and the planet. So those are just a few of the activities we're working on. People can come to carnism.org to learn more about what we're doing.
Fantastic. Yeah, I look forward to reading that. So I know you've worked on your memoir fairly recently, Ivana.
Almost a year ago now.
Oh, really? Time goes so quickly.
It's great.
It?
It's so good.
Thank you. My agent is like saying, "What about the next one?" I'm like, "Oh, really? Already?" I mean, I know some authors are already lining up their next one when publication hits, but I feel like I needed to take some time.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely the plan is to do more writing and fiction next. I have an idea for a novel I've been working on. Everyone has an idea for a novel, don't they? Of course. So I shouldn't even say that. I should jinx myself. But yeah, more writing. But it'll probably be next year I can share any details of that. So yeah. That's
brilliant.
Me.
we're gonna have lots to read in 2023, I think, aren't we? So yeah, lots to look.
Maybe 2024.
Okay.
But yeah, no pressure to read. No pressure, Ivana. Yeah, get that book out.
Don't you ever sometimes feel though, like, I'm sure you both get it, you get sent so many books from people. Sometimes I'm like, can everyone just stop writing books for a minute so I can catch up on my reading?
Well, in your book, your memoir, I mean, it's so big, it's so much. I mean, there's so much information. It's really long, and you know, in a good way though. Like, I actually didn't want it to end. So I can imagine that you would need to like really catch your breath and sort of push the reset button before diving into another major writing project. It's a lot.
Yeah. Although for me, writing concisely takes more time than writing at length. I've tried, I fail. I like words. I like lots of words, but yeah, definitely. But no, as I say, trying to make the jump to fiction, and it's so different because nonfiction, it's already written. It's just interpreting. It's very similar to acting, actually, because you're interpreting and kind of building a story around the story's already there. It's just about putting your take on it. So yeah, the fiction jump will be a big step, but yeah, people have done it. People have managed it. So yeah.
Oh, you'll be great. I am sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, certainly love to read that. I mean, I haven't read your memoir, but I know it's, you know, it sounds like quite a personal sort of experience. And like Melanie said, it probably takes quite a lot of out of you to kind of, you know, sort of put all of that
emotionally
to paper.
Yeah. I'm a bit cruel that way. I like to torture people a bit with that, but I like art that does that shakes you up and makes you feel things. So yeah, it's not a light read, so no, you're not in that place. I wouldn't call it
a light read, definitely not.
I know, but I think that's part, you know, that's part of being human, isn't it, sort of feeling that emotion and, you know, sort of other people's experiences. Well, thank you both so much for joining me, and good luck with the podcast. Are you doing like season one and then going to have a break and then another season, or what can we expect?
Yeah. We've got, I think it's like 8 episodes in season one. So a few more to go. And yeah, I suppose stay tuned for season two. But yeah, there's a lot of podcasts. People can be listening to yours in the meantime. Yeah. I know most of our guests have a podcast, so yeah, it's plenty to keep you busy. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, both of
Thanks,
you.
Holly.
Really appreciate
Thanks for having
it.
Us.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Vegan podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe and leave us a review. We'll be back next Thursday when I'll be chatting to Chef Stephanie Michalak-White about maintaining our health and well-being on a plant-based diet.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.